Accession number 31466, Mr. Tom Stringer, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about, you got to Seaburn in 1941, up Sunderland Way.
Yeah.
940, sorry, I said 40, 41, didn't I? So what happened next then? You were working as a mess or anything else happening there?
Yeah, I was on this mess for quite a while until... we moved to Chesterley Street from Seaburn. At a place called Horner's, which used to make the Boy Blue toffees, and it was next to the warehouse where they used to do the chocolate. And there was in a place there were sleeping quarters, and next door there was the girls working with the chocolate, and they used to pass chocolate through to us, and which chocolate was in shortage at the time. So,
bit of a perk.
Yeah.
Were the local people, how did you get on with the locals generally?
They were marvellous, the people at Chesterley Street.
In what way? Tell me what was it so good about it?
Well, they used to invite us into their homes just around about Christmas time, was there as well. And, there used to be a party, and they also invite the troops in. So we had a good time there. But then
no trouble at all, because with the girls, young lads, fights over girls, nothing like that was happening.
No, I don't remember any. Yeah, it's not like today.
So how long were you there for?
Test of this.
Were you there till the end of 40? Were you?
Yeah.
If you're there at Christmas, it's either 39 or 40.
40.
And anything else happening while you were there?
No,
just training.
No, just I think an German aircraft come over and bombed. It was brought down at near Sunderland. So
did you see it, or was it just something?
No, we saw the Aircat go it, and you see it burst, and then it came down, not where, about 3 or 4 miles from where we were.
And did you visit the site?
No, I didn't. You can't just go off.
No, I know. I thought you wouldn't be able to. So what happened next then? So you're there till Christmas?
Christmas. Then we went to Fairford. That's in Gloucestershire. And that's when I lost my job as mess orderly then. Went back into the...
Why did you lose the job?
Well, they decided to turf out some of the people that are on cushy jobs in the mess and get them on training. So I had to go back for more training then, which was only right, I suppose.
And did you have a special job? I mean, you're still a private, aren't you? Did you have a special job?
Yeah.
I mean, were you given a job, like mess friend gunner or something, or were you just an ordinary rifleman?
Ordinary rifleman, yeah.
So, anything about the train at Fairford? This is getting ready to go overseas, isn't it?
No. Fairford. Sorry. At Fairford. Hmm. No, I was still in charge of messes. I was given two messes to look after, mess huts, the old Nissen huts. Yeah. So, but then it was after that I lost the job there. And then the camp was open to the local people, used to come in, and I got more of these ladies coming round because with the food, because they saw the food, of course we was giving away stuff. Although they weren't interested in watching the weapon training, they were more interested in where the food was. But then after Fairford, I was went into training. Yes, not before, after.
That's okay. So were you still at Fairford when you went into training, or had you moved from there?
From Fairford, we went back to the East Coast at Leyston.
Leyston?
Leyston, that's Suffolk.
No, you spell it.
L-E-I-S-T-O-N.
And what was happening there?
We were just training again, and more severe training, putting up barbed wire, invasion, double dannet,
Why?
Is this putting beach defences in? Or
beach defences.
Tell us about that then. A bit more about. What do you remember about that?
Well, just putting up this these wire, these double denny, I think they used to call it, the wiring, the barbed wire.
What about the mines? Were the mines on the beaches or?
And the Royal Engineers put the mines in, but they were all, you know, mined up. We didn't never approach the part of the beaches.
So you put the wire up. Did you have trenches or slit trenches or anything?
No.
So it's just wiring?
Just wiring, yeah, and training.
And what kind, anything special in the training or just?
No, because we were told, we were given 5 rounds, and it's an invasion, you had 5 rounds.
Is that all the ammunition you had?
That's all the infantry had, our lot, anyway. But I suppose they depended more or less on the artillery and that.
So, training still, anything else?
No, Leiston, that's where I got, I also remember going on a cross-country run. It was a 5-mile cross-country run, all filled, ploughed. This was in summer, or spring, and I remember running, and then I stopped, saw a friend of mine, at a little cafe, had a cup of tea, but then saw the runners pass, but I thought, I'll finish the tea, and I thought, I'll carry on with this run, and it was a cross-country run. There was the old battalion, there was about 1,000, and I started passing people, and when the race finished, I was 4th, but then, that wasn't a good thing, because after a couple of weeks, I was put on a draft. And what it was, the first 20 that was in that cross-country run were put on the draft.
An overseas draft?
Overseas draft, yes. So I wasn't very happy about
that. Well, tell me about why weren't you happy? I mean, I think people understand why you don't want to go overseas, but explain it a bit for what was going through your mind?
Well, see, once you... on a draft abroad, you don't see your family, you know, you might not see them again. So that's, you also had that in mind.
So what preparations were made for the draft, or were you just sent on it?
Just sent on the draft, the following report.
Now, when was this, do you think?
Now, this was...
summer of 42, or...?
This was 42, this was June 42.
So what happened? Where did you have to go to?
We had to report to Worley in Essex. That was the...
that's the barracks,
barracks, headquarters of the Essex Regiment. And we were there about a week. And then
what were you doing there?
We weren't doing anything at all there, really. We just went there. And we weren't allowed actually out, but I used to sneak home at night because I lived at Beckentry then, and
because it's Worley Barracks Brentford
near Brentwood, yeah. Near Brentwood.
So were they doing anything, or were they just keep getting you organised there?
Just getting organised, and then we found on the Friday there was tropical kit all laid out for us. We took this tropical kit, and then. And we went, got on the railway, and then we went on the Queen Elizabeth, the QE1, as a troop, using it as a troop ship.
Nothing else happened there then? So this is still June 42,
June 42, yeah.
And so your draft, how many were there in your draft, do you think, roughly?
I would say in our draft, there was about, I think there was a 20 from the run, but then they had some others as well. I think there must have been about 30 from our draft.
So you were on the Queen Elizabeth?
Queen, yeah.
And where did you board her?
At Glasgow, or the port near Glasgow, I forget the name of the port.
And where were you going?
Then we went out almost to the West Indies. For that reason, is that there were U-boats in the area, so they had to make a detour almost and then verge south and then to Sierra Leone, Freetown.
Was she sailing on her own? Because they used to sail on their own, some of these big liners. Well, or was she in convoy?
We had an escort for about 3 days, but then the Queen Elizabeth was so fast that the convoy couldn't keep up, so it was on its own. But they got us out of the danger zone, that area. So we're on there.
And what were conditions like on that? Because sometimes it's quite uncomfortable. I know it's a liner, but it can be quite...
2,000 on board there.
So what were conditions like for you?
It wasn't too bad, really, because we had... we were on E deck, which is quite low down, and it was stifling down there. But there was only about 6 of us in the cabin, so we were lucky, really.
What about the food on the ship? All right?
Yeah, very good, yeah.
Any duties, or was it just...
No duties at all, no.
So where were you? You got to Sierra Leone, I think, you said?
Yes, Sierra Leone.
So where then?
And then it went on round the Cape. We stopped at Cape Town, but we weren't allowed to leave the boat. And then we went on through the Suez to Port Tufik. That's Port Suez by us. And then a train to...
So that was as far as you got, Port Tufik?
Yeah. Then we got a train from there.
And what were your first impressions when you got to Port Tufik? It's your first real foreign country, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think of Port Tufik?
It was something different. You know, it was a different atmosphere. Seeing the Egyptians the trains, you know, when they stopped at a station, there was always wanting to sell us lemonade and eggs and things like that. So,
you found it interesting, though.
Oh yeah.
And where were you going by train?
We went to Cabrit, a place called Cabrit. That's it's not far from Cairo. So then from Cabrit, we went to join the 1st 4th Essex at, Ruiset Ridge. We're in Ruiset Ridge.
That's where you joined them?
Yeah, Ruiset Ridge. And they just come back from, fighting in the desert, Mirza Matru, and that had been retreating back.
So this is July 42?
July 42.
Now, so what were your first impressions when you... that's going to be your home for a while, the first Essex.
Yeah, we were transferred to the 1st 4th from the 2nd 4th.
1st 4th, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your first impressions of them?
I never had a good opinion of the army in England. I don't know why. I know I shouldn't say that, but when I went abroad and saw the 8th Army working with the way they worked the bow, I thought they were good. I thought they, to me, they were a different army altogether. I know they had more experience, but that's
so your first impression was really good.
Good, yeah.
And which company or anything you were put in?
I was put in B Company of the Essex. And
what kind of reception did they give you? There's a lot of joking about getting your knees brown and things like that. But was that real? What were they like?
The chaps that had been in the fighting, they weren't keen on the new draft. They thought we were, sort of amateurs, really. But they soon mingled in with them and they accepted. I know one of the sergeants on our draft, I knew him well, he's quite a nice chap.
Remember his name?
Thwaites, his name was Thwaites, he got killed later. But, he said to me when we got to this Ruiset Ridge, will you report to Major, he was a captain at the time, Captain Beasley, as a runner. So I said, going to Nirvana with these chaps of experience. He said, well, you're the only person I know, because he was a sergeant, but amongst sort of chaps who had been, you know, experienced. So I saw a chap with just a pair of shorts, that's all, and a fly swat, you know. And going up to him, I said, hey chum, can you tell me where I can find Captain Beasley? He said, I'm not your chum, but I'm Captain Beasley, he said. So that was my start as a runner. But after
now, that Beasley,
Beasley.
And what was he like to act as runner for? Or did you not do it for long?
Oh yeah, I done it for quite a while as a runner. And I got captured in the platoons because you went from, so really you're at company headquarters, but then you go from, I was under 10 platoon, but you move from from company headquarters to platoon, any messages. So I got on all right with the job, and I got to know the people more, and they accepted me because any information they wanted came from me via Captain Beasley.
Do you remember his first name? You might not have known it.
What, Beasley? Jack Beasley.
And what was he like?
Very nice chap.
In what way? Can you expand on it a bit more?
He was always polite, and he was never aggressive, and he wouldn't ask you to do a job that he wouldn't do himself, you know. So.
Now, so what were they doing at Ruaisat Ridge when you
just
joined?
Just holding the ridge. It was a lull at the time. There was nothing, just an artillery fire.
Were you in defensive positions?
Defensive,
Can you describe them?
Nothing used to happen because they got to Alamein where, you know, Katara Depression was there, and the sea the other side, so it was a line 30 miles long, so they couldn't come round like Rommel used to do, round the back, so they had to be static. Both sides were static. Both were getting prepared for an offensive. The Germans were preparing to go into Alexandria and take the oil, and we had to defend it. So
what were your trenches, or whatever they were, up on Ruaisat Ridge?
Just slit trenches, yeah.
So what is a slit trench? Because people won't know. How big are they?
They used to call them sangers. It's only enough to hold about one man in, really. Just dig it yourself if you've got this.
How deep?
You can go any depth you like. You also make certain that it's deep enough so you can get your head down with any
sediment. How deep would you do it?
How deep? I would say about 4 foot. 4 foot.
Yeah. And how wide?
Just wide enough to get your body in.
A foot or so. Not as thin as you could, in a way.
Yeah, so
and how long?
About 6 to 7 foot, that's all.
And that would be your one.
Yeah.
What was it like digging in it there? Was it sand up there or was it stone on Royal?
No, that was sand there, yeah.
And was it easy to dig in the sand? I mean,
yeah, it was easy, yeah.
Didn't they all fall in?
That's the trouble, yeah. Sometimes you get bits of rock that you put on the side which would hold the sand from falling. But, I think that was, you felt safe from artillery fire and all these, you know. As long as you've got a direct hit.
So how were the slit trenches were arranged? I mean, you couldn't just dig them anywhere. Normally they have fields of fire that are sorted out by someone. Were they arranged for fields of fire? Or?
Not really. I think they just, once you got there, asked everybody just dig in, and there was no sort of organisation with it because there was a lull on at the time, and I don't think we were really forward positions then.
Now, how did you take to the climate when you got out there? Because
I found that a bit hard because I found that I always wanted to drink all the time, thirst, and you were only given a water bottle full, and that used to last all day. That was washing teeth, drinking. So, there's always a shortage of water.
that, how do you feel about, I mean, were you able to cope, or?
I think after a time, you got used to it. First of all, you found it hard, but then you got into the atmosphere of...
And what about the heat? Did that bother you?
It did, first of all, yeah. Because it was in August then.
Did you join them in July or August?
July, the end of July.
And I mean, did they warn you about heat stroke, about sunburn, things like that when you joined them?
Not really, no.
So how did you find out? I mean,
well, you more or less by
dust storms. What?
Sandstorms, they were a nuisance, because once they were on...
Did you get them up on the ridge?
Yeah, because if you got tea, the sandstorms would cover everything. You had to put, even over your mug, a sort of bit of tin and sash it so that sand didn't get into the mug. And it was always... a nuisance when meals were served and the sandstorm was on, because you know you'd get this plate covered with the
now, did you have any overhead cover at all, or were you just slit?
No tents or anything above that.
What about food? What ration? I mean, we're always interested. What food did you get in the desert?
The cook used to have a little cookhouse he made himself. Or the cook said, and it wasn't bad, because it was mostly corned beef. Sometimes it was done in heated up, or it wasn't bad really, considering the circumstances. I thought they'd done well there in the static position.
Salty beef, and did you have the biscuits as well?
Yes.
They're not exactly good when you're short of water, are they? No, or did that not bother you? Because it may not.
No, but the cook there was pretty good. He used to make a stuff called biscuit burgoo.
What's that?
Which was watered down, and then sugar put it in, and it was like a porridge. So that was best way of using the army biscuits.
So you get biscuits, bully beef. It didn't bother you, the salty bit, because it melts in the heat as well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So that was all right.
Well, you accepted it after a time. Yeah.
Anything else you got? Any vegetables or any...
I don't remember...
Bread?
Vegetables. I don't remember vegetables at all. I think potatoes.
So you're up there on this ridge. Nothing much is happening.
No, it's a lull then. Just the occasional shell would come over, and the 25 pounders were far back.
What was it like being under fire for the first time? I mean, how did it... had you worried about it?
Yeah, I was a bit frightened, because at times the Stukas used to come over, and I think, first of all, they used to worry me, really.
Why? I mean, I understand, but why so much? Why them rather than other things?
Well, because when they used to dive, they used to make a noise like a siren, and it used to get louder. The lower they came, the louder it got, and that was more frightening than the bombs that they dropped, because they're only small bombs that they dropped, and they were used as long-range artillery, really, the Stukas. But after a time, they got shot down by the Bopas so often, or the fighters, that they packed them up. They get done away with them at the end. Thank goodness.
Now, you said it was on there that was this when you were actually firing the Brens and the Schmeisers and the rest of it? Was that happening there, or was that later?
No, it's later. Okay, okay. Yeah.
So you're up there. You're basically settling down. What about latrines? Did they have latrines?
Yes, they.
What were they like?
They had a pioneer section that used to dig these latrines, and they used to make a good job of it.
What were they like?
Not bad. They used to put a pole across this time, and then, you know.
We just sat out in the open, or did they close them off?
No, just in the open.
And did you mind just sitting on a pole and doing your business, or was it something you got?
First of all, it was unusual, but. After a time, you accepted it as part of the training, really, or got the atmosphere.
Were they using the sort of desert rose urinal? I don't know if you know what that is, but where they... No, it's not for me to...
Desert rose?
Urinal.
Yeah, it was the same... It's always used the same.
You just use the same thing. No, yeah. That's all right. I don't want to I don't want you, me to tell you things or ask you. You know, I want to know what you remember. That you know. So, what was life like? What was a typical day like upon Ruaisa Ridge before the fighting started?
It's a bit boring, really. I suppose in the heat of the sun, there's no protection because it's August. That's the hottest part. And I would say it must have been the 80s or 90s there all the time until night time. Then it got cold at night.
So what would you spend all day doing?
Probably nothing, just hanging around really, watching any aircraft that come over both ways. And I think,
would you be given duties? I mean, you were a runner, so you'd be doing a bit of that.
Oh yeah, I've been running back and forward there, yeah.
But anything else happening?
No, nothing. Pretty boring, I suppose.
Did you have any special pals? I don't know whether your friend
Circus
was with you.
Yes, I had a chap from Stan Griffiths. I always remember his name. But I was friendly with him when I was in England, and also he was on the same draft, and he's my pal on the Queen Elizabeth.
But your other friend, was it Circus? He wasn't with you.
No, Circus wasn't on that draft. He was a later draft.
So what was? Tell us a bit about Stan. What was he like?
Yeah, very nice chap he was. He also used to remind me of Clint Eastwood, this chap. He used to also had a cigarette out of his mouth. But then we were still on Riverside Ridge, and then one day a Bren carrier came across. And there was about seven or eight chaps sitting on top of the Bren carrier, and I saw this Stan Griffiths, and I said to him, what's happening? What are you doing? So he said, we've all got yellow jaundice. We're going back to base hospital. And I said to him, you're lucky. But as the last I saw of him.
What happened to him, do you know? Or?
No, I don't. Email letter from him from the Sudan. He's gone to the Sudan after he'd been in the hospital, but that's the last letter I got from him. I don't know what happened to him.
So how long was this quiet phase going on for, do you think?
That went on till now. June, July, August, September. It went on to about August or September, and then Germans made a push at a place called Alam Halfa. They tried to